Welcome to The Awareness Space, the mental and emotional health podcast, exploring human experience. I'm Owen Morgan, a self-awareness and well-being coach. I focus my approach on self-awareness, self-compassion, polyvagal theory, and acceptance and commitment therapy. With a trauma-informed approach and a collaborative nature with my clients, transformation can take place. We unpack all of this and more on this podcast. We dive into how cultivating compassion, safety, and non-judgment can create a steady, resilient, and thriving life. We dive into conversations on all things trauma recovery, consciousness, the nervous system, and psychology. We invite well-being advocates, therapists, and those with recovery stories to share this space and inspire hope for others. Enjoy the one-to-one conversations and the panel shows as we enter the awareness space. Welcome to the show, Mike. How are you, my friend?
I'm not too bad. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really glad that that you reached out because by the time I looked at everything you were up to and listened to you on a couple of podcasts, I thought, yeah, we're going to have hopefully a very deep and inspiring conversation today. And I think your story is amazing. And we'll dive into all of that and purpose and stuff today. And how does your work look then? So I know, you know, you've written a couple of books and you're doing all this amazing work out there in the media platform. So what does your work look like? Are you working with people? Is it doing talks? What's that looking like?
Yeah. So, you know, most of my work actually happens in groups. So I do a lot of group work. People can hire me one-on-one. I do, you know, less and less of that, but I had one today and that takes me about 2.5 hours. So I actually map people's sensitivities live and I go through their entire lived experience and we figure out their brand or their purpose. And, you know, people use that for a lot of things like we talked about before. So I've had, you know, comedians trying to get comedy specials on TV. I've had drag queens getting on TV shows. Today I worked with a energy worker. So, you know, it can kind of run the gamut of what people, you know, some people are using it to discover their language of sexuality and how to improve their, you know, intimate relationships. And so that is some of what I do, but most of what I do actually is teaching that exact work through group programs, through online courses. And then, you know, depending on where this interview goes, it gets much more esoteric. So it can get much higher into realms of really looking at core questions about the universe or core questions about how we see the world.
So as far as mapping the sensitivities, as you describe, just briefly, don't give away too many trade secrets because, you know, we just get lots of clients, but this mapping sensitivity. So you mentioned earlier on that it would be a deep dive in across their lifetime from the moment they're born up to this point is kind of mapping out what's happened to them to maybe drill deeper down to sensitivities. Is that kind of what it looks like?
Kind of what it looks like. Yeah. So I'll walk you through it. So basically what I'm interested in is going through a person's lived experience and figuring out which things they're most sensitive to, which levers they naturally pull every time they're successful and fulfilled. So all of us have that, you know, there's a reason that your marriage feels so good. There's a reason that your, you know, work and massage therapy feels so good. It's the same thing over and over again. But as humans, we're not really good at moving things from one context to another. So we, you know, have this beautiful relationship, this beautiful friendship, and then we get on camera or we get in with a client and suddenly we're a different person. And it's really hard for us to understand that actually the reason we're so lovable and magnetic over there is the same reason over here. And so my interest is really kind of helping people realize that most of our lives, we're throwing darts in the dark, right? Where the lights are off and we're trying so hard to hit that bullseye. We're trying so hard and honestly, pretty low chance we're going to hit the bullseye, right? The lights are off. But once in a while in life, we do hit the bullseye. A miracle happens and things just work out. And even if that happens, we have no idea what we did or how to repeat it. And so what mapping sensitivities is about is looking at every time you've ever hit the bullseye in your life and flipping on the light switch and just trying to track and understand what was going on there. What really happened? When you felt a moment of trauma, what was the opposite of that was going on there? What did you wish you felt? And as we start to track these things, that takes me about 2.5 hours when I work with a client live, but we begin to go through, you know, people you resonate with, people you don't resonate with, your trauma, your patterns, we do a whole bunch of things. We cry, we yell. I mean, it's very intense because I have to activate a person's nervous system to make sure that they can really feel these sensitivities deeply. when I understand that, we might end up with, say, 100 or 200 words that describe every one of their lived experiences. So we can boil it down to about 200 words, let's say. We then systematically pack those words in to the overarching sensitivities. For example, if you feel this, you feel all these other words. And so what we're doing is we're mapping your experiences into overarching patterns. And then we come out with about 5 or 6 sensitivities that speak to every single one of your lived experiences. Every time you've ever felt successful or fulfilled, you've felt all these words. Every time you've ever felt, you know, trauma or frustration or challenge, you've felt the opposite of these words. And we now have a reliable, predictable formula to start to say, okay, this is why this worked out, but that didn't. This is why this felt good, but that didn't. Here's how I know this is going to be a good marketing plan for me. Or here's how I know this is going to be a good relationship for me. Or here's how I can ask to improve my relationship. Or here's how I can heal myself with sexuality. And I'll give you an example because I know this sounds abstract. So my sensitivities are aligned, zany, free, unmistakable, successful, and vulnerable. And so a few years ago, I didn't feel I had an empowered relationship with my body. I didn't feel confident or sexy in my body. And I thought, well, come on, Mike, you do this work. Come on, you can get this. So I said, all right, what would make me feel vulnerable and zany and free with my body? And I thought, well, duh, dancing naked in front of the mirror. And so every day for a year, while the water was heating up in the shower, I danced naked right in front of the mirror and looked at my body. On days where I didn't feel confident, days where I felt really uncomfortable, I just watched my body as I danced. I did not miss a day, every single day. And at the end of that year, it didn't even occur to me at the time, but at the end of that year, I booked my first boudoir photo session. I had my first nude photos with a stranger. And I was so nervous about this experience. And, you know, anyway, we had the photos. I got them back and I thought, well, no one's going to see these, right? These are just for me, maybe my husband. These are very, very private. And I looked at those photos and I felt so confident. Oh my God, my mom has seen them. I've posted them on the internet. I mean, anybody, I don't care who sees these photos. And I can say with certainty now that there's not a room I walk into that I don't feel like one of the sexiest, most confident people. I'm sure people don't find, some people don't find me attractive, and that's great, but that feels like nothing to do with me. That's about them. And that's wonderful for them. And I hope they honor what they feel. And so this is what we're talking about, is understanding the sensitivities, the things we're most sensitive to life, and then building a life around those things, because it's no longer us trying to fit inside a container, right? It's no longer me when people tell me, Mike, you're too much. You're too intense, too emotional, too sensitive. I've heard this my whole life. I used to feel really bad about that. Now I realize that's kind of like saying, you know, I've got a big pot of water and I'm trying to pour it into a little cup and it spills all over the floor. I wouldn't shame the water for being too much. I would get a bigger pot. So when someone says to me now, Mike, you're too much, I say, oh, you mean I'm too much for you to handle in this container. You're telling me it's too small of a container. Great. Thank you. I'll go find a bigger container. This isn't the right friendship or relationship or job or client or whatever for me.
Thank you. Well, that's such a wonderful example of what you're talking about there. And it really draws upon this sense of how often we live through people's perception, don't we? How much there's only some people in our life that have a certain perception of us. And I think so often, especially with trauma and trying to keep yourself safe, you meet the need of their perception. So I need to be what they need me to be so I can stay safe. This is just childhood stuff. This is classic child behavior.
Yes.
To make sure I stay safe and my caretaker take care of me, I need to mold myself to keep myself safe. And that's why abusive households for kids is just so traumatizing, because they have to adapt their behavior to doing that. And the prime example we use on every most of the shows we talk about with trauma is that when girls are sexually abused, they then associate that to stay safe, I have to provide a sexual act, and that carries through into their life. So it's really important for us to look at the perceptions that people put upon us and how much of that, their container, are we wanting to hang out in. But like you said, you have to, it's hard though, isn't it? It's hard in the society to look past that. You really have to dive deep and own your truth, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that it's really hard to know boundaries and know, you know, am I in your container? Are you in mine? What's going on? If we don't know who we are, you know, I think it's really hard to know who we aren't if we don't know who we are. And for me, so much of subjectivity and mapping sensitivities work is deconditioning work, pulling out the stories of, hey, that's not true. That's a toxic pattern. That's a trauma response. That's not actually inherently who I am. But to do that, I have to know who I actually am. I have to know the core of my essence, the core of my being. And so for me, it's really been this path of, hey, wait a minute. My body's not ugly or unattractive. I mean, I'm only looking at my body in comparison to the bodies I'm told are supposed to be right. But that's just messaging. That's just conditioning. That's nothing to do with truth. And so I start to say, well, you know what? I'm really thin and I've got these straight lines, straight nose, straight collarbone. I always thought I was so ugly. And I thought, well, what else would aligned look like? Of course, there are straight lines everywhere. That just makes sense. And all of a sudden, we're recentering the focus back on ourselves. Our behavior, you know, why am I loud? Well, who else would, what would Zany be? Of course I'm loud. Of course I'm passionate. And it starts to make us realize we're right. We're back in the center of our own subjectivity. We're not wrong. And if somebody doesn't resonate, that's wonderful. That's their prerogative and they're not a fit for us. But why am I changing who I am because of you?
Yeah, certainly. And it's one of the biggest lessons I think so many of us go on when we go on this, whatever you want to call it, personal development, healing, whatever word you're attaching to it. I think it's this deep connection to the inner wisdom. And we said so many times on the show, wisdom has always been seen as this thing that you go out and find and you travel the world and you discover yourself and you have experiences and all this kind of stuff. And then you retain and gain all of this wisdom from outside of you that you can take on board, realizing that all you're really doing through these experiences in the most beautiful way possible is going deeper and deeper into yourself by exposing yourself to these experiences to find out more about who you are innately already. And wisdom is something that's already underneath. It's my analogy is a bit like abs. You know, they always say like, I really wish I had a six pack. In essence, mm-hmm. we all have one. It's just underneath. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same with wisdom. Mm-hmm. I really wish I was wiser. It's there. It's just covered up with a lot of noise and society and perception and things that you've got to do. And you just need to strip it back by creating space. And I think the whole point of awareness space is creating this open, expansive space so you can really get in there and just be still and at peace and let these things come to you. I think the messages are there. You just got to strip back all that noise.
Yeah. You know, I think that this is really beautiful where you're going with this because, you know, no moment of our lived experience is wasted. And I think that a lot of us say that, you know, we think like, oh, when I was on my purpose or off my purpose, I hear that all the time, or I've just got to find my purpose. Or people will say, you know, I wasted so much time in that job or so much time in that relationship or some, no moment of our lived experience is wasted. You know, we just have this treasure trove of data, of wisdom. And all we need to do is map that. Like we have so much lived experience that when we start mapping it, we realize the patterns are already there. The answers are there. You know, our sensitivities are within that. And we actually, with pretty good accuracy, can predict things in the future based on things in the past. So I can say, hey, Mike, if I ever don't know what to do in an interview, I'll give you a perfect example here. Let's say you ask a question that I don't know the answer to. You're kind of like, hey, Mike, with COVID and everything going on, what's the wisdom we all need? Kind of like, oh crap, that's a big question. I don't know. And I say, all right, Mike, all that they want from me is aligned, zany, free, unmistakable, successful, vulnerable. So I said, well, you know what, Owen? I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I don't know. I actually don't know, you know, all the wisdom in the world. But what I can tell you with certainty is that aligning with yourself will always be your best path for success. Always aligning with your vulnerabilities, the true wounds and who you really are, your zaniness, the too much stuff, the things that make you yourself, your unmistakable aspects of yourself, that will always free you to be successful, not just successful financially, but in every way of life. Because aligning with yourself, no matter how crazy the world gets or what happens, will always be your best path for success. All I literally did was take those six words, throw a few ands and buts in there. And I know that that's my resonant wisdom because it's been true in my past. I've looked through my past experiences and now I can predict things in the future. I can know, hey, Mike, if I put that on a website, it will resonate more with the right people. Hey, if I create Facebook ads, if I do this, because I know what my lived experience has told me. We already, all of us, everybody here listening, you know, if you're old enough to listen to a podcast, you have enough lived experience that there's a lot of information that about your sensitivities. We just need to trust ourselves and begin to map and understand what we've already learned.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I love that the kind of, I keep using the word essence. Obviously, that's a word that I probably need to keep using, but it's because it keeps coming up. But it's, like you said, is like mapping backwards like that and seeing these commonalities in the way you are and the way you behave. And yes, some of it may be a trauma response, some of it may be more natural, but either way, what a great teacher that is. And trauma by far out of anything else has been my best teacher. It's taught me so much about who I am and where it's got me today through the way I responded, the way I healed it, and what came out of that. So I always thank my trauma for everything it did with compassion and love. And it allows me to stay grounded and centered with that, which is really, really important.
Are you wanting to learn how self-awareness and self-compassion can help transform your life? As a self-awareness and well-being coach, my passion is supporting people to explore how self-awareness, self-compassion, and understanding their body and mind can boost their well-being and improve their life as a whole. My mission is to share what I have learned and support people to cultivate inner peace, steadiness, and connection. I used to feel lonely, unworthy, anxious, disconnected, and stuck in my life. I want to hold a space for you to explore your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and reactions. Working with you to unpack what holds you back or shuts you down. Let's begin to cultivate self-awareness and an understanding of your experience of life. We want to set in motion the shift towards peace, self-love, and a deep sense of belief in who you are and what you need. If you are feeling lost, disconnected, or without a sense of direction or hope, then I'm here to welcome you to your awareness space. It is time to free yourself of the programs and patterns that drive your life. For more of my well-being coaching, visit www.theawarenessspace.com.
So my two prefaces, I guess I'll say here. One is just for everybody listening as well, to the best of your ability, I know this is hard, let go of what you think your words are going to be. This isn't desire work. And most of our desires are heavily conditioned. And when I work with people, it's actually 2.5 hours, like I said. So I have to make sure that people can't predict anything I'm doing. That I trick them every step of the way because it's got to be purely subconscious, purely emotional. But beautiful, beautiful. So also, I want to say that anyone listening, this is my shoddy 5-minute version. But if people are interested in doing this for themselves, we have a free worksheet that you can download on my website, and it's at mikeimle.com/map, and you can just start mapping those for yourself for free. All right, let's do it, Owen. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think of three jobs. So pull up three jobs in your mind. These can be, way back since high school. These can be your current job. It can include things you are not paid for, like volunteer work. It can include podcasting. It can include being, a partner or a husband or a friend or whoever. So just any job or role you play in life. And I want you to give me one of these jobs and tell me three things that you make people feel in that job. For example, you may make people feel safe or empowered or excited or engaged or whatever. So one job and three things you make people feel.
I know the three jobs since I was 19 all the way up to now. All of them is the sense of in trauma-informed safety. Always had that. Always want people to feel safe in the space.
So do you mind, just for the sake of play here, do you mind just picking one of those jobs, just one? And just saying three things that you made people feel. And they can be anything. And don't worry about the other jobs, but it could be anything. So you made people feel. So tell me one of the jobs if you're comfortable.
Yeah, I'll talk about the job where my transformation really took place, which was at the Theatre Royal in Bath. It saved me. That place saved me, honestly. When I started there, yeah. I was in anxious mess, depressed. And yeah, those people saved me. But what made people feel there was safe, loved, and seen. I saw all of them. I really held space. I wanted to see them, deeply. So seen, safe, beautiful. And loved.
Beautiful. Seen, safe, and loved. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Give me another job and three things you make people feel.
Safe, seen, and loved. I'm really getting hooked into those three. I'm like,
don't worry about the words. Don't let it go to the best of your ability.
Yeah, my brain's trying to problem solve. Classic human experience.
So can you just tell me about the job first?
Yeah, so it'll be at the cinema years ago. I'm trying to find the right word. I'm a very silly, silly person. So I love one of my favorite things in the world is making people laugh. I love that look on their face. It feels so yummy. So what I'm trying to think what word that would be. Make them feel fun, I guess.
Yeah.
Playful, fun. Let's go with fun. I think I like to make people feel like they're having fun. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So it's fun. And then don't overthink it. Go deep, go deep. Probably motivated, actually. I find that I can convince most people to do most things, really. I seem to have this power that my partner talks about. So I motivate people. So yeah, motivate. And one last one. A word for included. I've always been good at that. I don't like people being out to the side and feeling isolated. Yeah. So what would that be? Included, I guess.
Included, yeah.
Go for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Give me, so we did one more job. One more job and three things you made people feel.
Well, let's go right back to today, shall we? So supported. I've got all the cheesy ones, haven't I? Supported. At work now, in this job that I've got, I always make sure that I support all my colleagues, no matter what my opinion of them is. Sort of educate. I love helping people discover things, teach them things, educate. And I'm just going through all these beautiful experiences that I have on a daily basis. Sorry, podcast listeners, this is not good podcast quality audio.
So supported and educated and just anything else that you can help people feel. And if you're unstuck, that's okay too.
All the previous ones are all here today.
Beautiful.
Too, while I'm doing it in the current job doing before.
Perfect.
Nothing's coming up. I don't want to force it.
Yeah, no, you're doing great. You're doing great. So just as I'm saying this, just feel your feet. Just notice if they're hot or cold as I'm asking you this next question. Notice if they're heavy or light. And I want you to think of a challenging moment in your life. Not something that's re-traumatizing to think about, but a moment that was really, you know, frustrating or challenging. And you don't have to tell me what it is if you don't want, but I just want you to tell me three things you felt in that moment.
Dread.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the first one. Dread.
Mm-hmm.
Dread, overwhelm. I'm trying to think when it comes up. It's all in my gut. So it's dread, overwhelm. It's not anxiety. Dread, overwhelm, and just disconnection. I feel like I turned into a shell of myself.
Yeah. Beautiful. And if you had a magic wand and you could, you know, change that situation and make yourself feel anything you would have rather felt, what do you think you would make yourself feel?
This hug. It's like a hug compassion. It's like a wrap the arms around, I've got you, like, kind of vibe.
Embraced?
Yeah, embraced. Hugging the inner child. Because it's inner child. Mm-hmm. Most of that stuff's an inner child thing. Mm-hmm. So embrace. I love that. Yeah. Hug. Embrace. Yeah.
Embraced. Anything else that you would want to feel?
It's compassion. It's a compassion for them, whatever word that is. I always try and be compassionate to what they've just done. So like this kind of seeking to understand. So we'll have to go with compassion because for them as well as me.
Okay. We'll do one more thing. So I want you to now think of one of the happiest, most successful moments of your life, a moment that feels really good. And I want you can tell me about it if you'd like, but I want you to tell me three things you felt in that moment.
Alive. Alive. Deeply, deeply seen, alive, seen, and just connected to the expanded consciousness.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so now we just kind of map that. I mean, this is, again, super shoddy version, but what we're doing is just getting a sense of, okay, we heard safe come up a few times. We heard connected and disconnected. We saw that tension come up a few times. We saw seen come up a few times. We saw things around, you know, embracing and supporting come up. So we'll say if supported, maybe. We saw some themes of, you know, compassion. And so just to play today, And you know what? We saw a live. I want to put a live in there. So just to play today, we have, you know, supported, seen, alive, compassionate, safe, and fun. Let's put those in there. Okay. So now we have these sensitivities. I'm going to guess that in some of your happiest, most successful moments, or, you know, your relationship or the work that you really love doing, you feel really seen and, you know, supported and fun and alive and compassionate. And then in the moments that are the opposite of that, that you don't feel so great, you feel the opposite of those things. Maybe you feel unseen or unsupported. Maybe you feel that people are being really harsh and not compassionate. Maybe you feel that either, you know, alive is going too kind of excited, like anxiety, or the other way where it's really depression and it feels really bad. And we'll see that a lot. Shadows can go multiple directions. But now we have, to some extent, a very small, very shoddy here, beginning of your idea of your sensitivities. And we can start to predict things about you. And I've already started doing it, right? So I can start to say, oh, when I see alive, I think of a person who, on the one hand, can have some anxiety, and on the other hand, has had depression. And I can see a bounce between those. I can see a person who, let's say, you know, supported. This is a person who may have had struggles with support in the past, asking for the support that they need, feeling support, feeling seen. And when we see seen and supported, that's going to give us a whole new dimension. So now we have a new idea of it. And this starts to predict some challenges, but also it's going to predict, well, someone who's connected and seen and supported and alive. Well, yeah, obviously they'd be love doing podcasts, right? It's this really great opportunity to connect all these voices, provide support for people, especially around these core issues of life and aliveness, help people to feel really seen and heard. That's going to be a great container for you. And so what we're doing is we're just saying, oh, that makes sense why this works out. That makes sense why this doesn't. And let's pretend that I ask you a question like I did to you before. And I say, you know, Owen, like, what do you think is really important about this podcast? And you say, well, you know, I think that it's really important that we talk about life and the core values of life and what it means to be alive and offer tools that can support us and really allow us to feel seen and recognized in our moments of trauma so we can feel supported and bring in a little fun and have a little bit of fun in these deep connecting conversations. Now, all I did again was take those words, and I'm sure you could say that a lot better than I could, but take those words and put them together and we can start to understand your core values in life. We can start to understand why you create things. We can start to understand what people resonate with about you. And so for everyone listening, it's a very simple process, but it starts to tell us why this feels good, why that didn't. I mean, you can use it for sexuality. You can say, well, the best sex for me is going to be deeply connecting sex, right? Sex that makes me feel alive and feel really safe. That's going to be wonderful. We talk about friendships. You want really deep conversations and connection. Well, and safety. Well, of course, because it's in your sensitivity. So I'm not surprised you said that. So we're going to see these patterns over and over and over again in your life.
Thank you so much for that. I feel a little bit cheeky on these podcast episodes. I feel like I'm getting loads of cheeky coaching when I was, you know, with the world listening. So thank you. And honestly, I appreciate you doing that because you're right. You know, that sentence you said there at the end and what the podcast is about, you're spot on because it's got all my words in it. So of course I'm going to get it and resonate with what you said. So it's such a beautiful example of your work. And I'm sure people are even more keen now to find out more. Well, I just want to thank you for this. I think you're just an amazing human being. And I feel honored and so grateful that I've got to meet you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Likewise, I really feel that. And I love the work that you're doing in the world.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's amazing. Please, everybody, check it out. I'll put lots of links in the show notes so you can check out Mike's work. I hope this was useful. I certainly absolutely loved it. I hope you loved the demo. If you want to hear me having more demos, let me know and I'll integrate it into my chats coming forward because I think it's a really lovely way to see it unfold. And Mike certainly showed us that. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will see you all next time.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope it has been of value. Please do subscribe and click follow on whichever platform you listen on. I have well-being courses, coaching services, and other informative content over at www.theawarenessspace.com. Thank you again. Until next time, I wish you a wonderful day.